Hey geeks, it's Jana and Ashley. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Geek Girls Universe podcast, your place for the latest geek and fandom news.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the first official episode of the Geek Girls Universe podcast. We could not think of a better way to start than with all of the exciting Marvel Phase 4 news.
There was so much that came out of not only Comic-Con, but D23, and I don't know what I'm most excited for. It seemed like everything they announced, I was like, yes, this is my favorite. Yes, this is my, like a dog that's like, this is my favorite thing. This is my favorite thing. Like, and it was all my favorite thing. Like Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, Black Panther 2. I'm all about more Winter Soldier, anytime, anywhere. Loki. Okay, I guess my real answer is I'm most excited for all of it. I don't know how to pick just one. What about you?
I kind of feel the same way. I definitely, every time they played something, especially in that Disney Plus panel, I was like, oh my goodness, I need this, and I'm so excited. And I think the one that I might be most excited for, though, is Black Widow. That trailer really just got me the most excited, I think, of all of them, even though I was very excited for all of the announcements.
Yeah, Black Widow, definitely. She's one of my favorite characters. And it's the first official movie of Phase 4, even though timeline-wise, they said it's going to be after the events of Captain America: Civil War. So I'm hoping for some flashbacks kind of earlier into her ascent into being Black Widow, as well as I can't even wait for the post-credit scenes too, because like, I need it. I need it in my life right now, but we have to wait till May, unfortunately. We've got Taskmaster as the villain. And from what I've heard, it looks amazing. Jana, you were in the room at D23 when they played that footage. I'm only jealous a little bit and only hate you just a little bit. But you got to tell me, we need all the details. Tell us what
I was. I was in the room where it happened. Let's see. So seriously, though, there was so much that happened all at once, and trying to process it, you were just like, wait, what's happening right now? I mean, yeah, the first thing you see is a sepia tone overlay of a city, and it says Budapest, and you're like, oh yes, we're going to get some Budapest.
Finally.
And you're like, yes, Budapest. Like, I think the crowd went wild just seeing the word Budapest, because I think every single person in that room who knows anything about Black Widow and Hawkeye and that whole their whole history, they were just like, yes, Budapest, finally we get to see some history. And
yes,
she you know, comes into a room and clearly is doing some kind of, you know, spy, stalking, whatever, secret agent kind of thing. And she ends up walking in on another woman who's about the same age and looks actually a little bit like her. And they fight for a second, and she's like, hello, sister. And you're like, oh, damn. So that, you know, then they fight for a second, and, you know, it's clips back and forth. But she ends up essentially meeting with her family. She addresses somebody as her father later on, and I think it was like a coffee shop. So just a whole bunch of great footage. We see Taskmaster at the very last scene, but yeah, there's like a quick there's a red room scene. It looks so good, but there's clearly going to be some really good understanding of like her character and her development as a, you know, the backstory is to kind of where Black Widow comes from, way more than we've gotten from any of the other movies so far.
I got chills. I'm so excited. And Red Room, like, that's a big deal too. We've got some footage of that from Age of Ultron, so I wonder if it'll kind of expand on that.
I hope so.
I don't care what it does. I want all of it.
I mean, it's definitely more than like what you've gotten previously. So I would be surprised if we don't get more. But yeah, it was definitely like a minute of just really intense, and it was, you know, fast action, right? So you're really just trying to be like, wow, process what you just saw. And then it moves along and you're like, wait, what's happening now? And you're like, oh my goodness, I can't even, like, with all the things that you see, because you just got these little clips of things that every little one kind of shocked you along the way. And you're like, oh my goodness, oof.
Well, I have to wait with the peons to see the footage. I'm hoping they release a trailer maybe with Star Wars.
I hope Rise so. Skywalker. We've got to get one here pretty soon.
I mean, come on. Come on, Marvel. All right. We could talk about Black Widow all day, but I'm as much as I'm excited about the films, let's talk about the shows a little bit. The Disney Plus shows, unlike shows in the past where they kind of tied into the MCU timeline and then they kind of didn't, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of fell off a little bit, and some of the other ones kind of don't really go at all, except for they exist in the same world. However, the Disney Plus shows are definitely going to be within the timeline. They can lead into the movies. Like WandaVision is going to lead into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which I'm like, what? I'm so excited and intrigued and I can't stand it. But one of the shows I'm probably the most hyped for, and again, it's hard. I love Loki. I love Bucky. But the What If series, because the Marvel's What If is going to be based on the iconic comic book run. A lot of people like it. If you haven't read them, I suggest that you do. They offer the what ifs. What if this happened instead of what happened? That means we could be seeing Thanos teaming up with the Avengers, Thor raised by frost giants, Marvel zombies. I mean, the possibilities are kind of endless. And they have confirmed that each of the What If episodes are going to correspond to one of the MCU films. So you saw, I know, again, this lucky girl. I'm not salty. She saw, I believe, the Captain Carter footage that is exciting. And that's one of my favorites because I love Peggy and I know you do too. So again, tell us about it for those of us who weren't in the room.
Yeah, so it was, so we had Bucky and Captain America and Peggy Carter all just, there was a scene in there and it's, you know, sort of, and to be honest, I can't remember the whole thing because I really just focused on Captain Carter at the end. I was like, wait, what? And then I kind of forgot the rest of it. But it was, you know, sort of a Bucky and Captain America reverse role type situation. Captain Carter, so basically Peggy Carter was the super soldier. So yeah, and so there's this big reveal when Captain Carter comes out of the chamber where they created Captain America when he was the super soldier, and you see Captain Carter, and it was epic. And the room kind of went wild. It was not just me, although I may have screamed the loudest, I'm not sure.
I wouldn't blame you.
So the What If series should be out on Disney Plus summer 2021.
That seems so far away.
It does. But, you know, I feel like time is just going to fly. Like, we're going to get Disney Plus here in just, under 90 days. Are we down to like 75 days or something like that? And then we're going to get all these shows just kind of slowly released. A bunch of these series are going to come out 1 week at a time, I think is what Disney announced, which actually I really kind of like. It's one thing I do like, the binging aspect of their, you know, Netflix competitor, where I can just sit down and just watch them all at once if I want to. But there is something exciting about being able to just look forward to a show, right? Like I have some on, you know, HBO that I stream and I'm like, oh yes, like Sunday night, here I am ready for, you know, Big Little Lies or whatever. And it's, you only get it that 1 week. And so you have one show to look forward to. And I do like that aspect of it. And so I think by the time you're watching the shows that you're into, your next one's going to drop. And I think summer 2021 for this What If series is going to be here before we know it.
That's true. And I agree. I actually like that they're going to do week to week instead of just all at once, because it kind of helps us savor the moment a little more.
I also think it gives you time to process, right? Like I think sometimes when we sit and we just binge things, you don't really sit and kind of noodle on what you've seen or process it. You just go, oh yeah, that's great. And you move on to the next one. And
no, I agree. I like it. And for us nerds, it'll give us time to theorize and break it down and overanalyze as we do.
Yes.
And time to we love to do.
And time to chat about it on our Marvel Mondays Twitter party.
That's right. And on this podcast, we will definitely be chatting about other TV shows. So of course we're going to be chatting about the Marvel TV shows.
So one of the other exciting things that came out of the D23 Expo panel for Disney Plus was that Black Panther 2 had a new date. We don't have a title yet. It's still just the working Black Panther 2 title, but May 6th, 2022 is the release date for the film. And I think Ashley had some really good thoughts on, you know, villain predictions and some theories. And if we're lucky, maybe we'll see Killmonger again.
Yeah, the wait for Black Panther 2 is going to be a long one, I think. But Ryan Coogler stated he wants to get it right. Now, while I don't know exactly what that means, I have some theories. So I originally was thinking Namor could be our villain. They did, you know, it was a throwaway line in Endgame where Black Widow and Okoye are talking about an earthquake that happened under Africa. Well, that's a throwaway line, but it could totally mean that Namor is coming. But after I was thinking about it and why the wait is so long, it makes perfect sense if they also are going to use Black Panther 2 to bring in either Doctor Doom or some of the X-Men. Because we have been told that we're not going to get them right away. So we're not supposed to expect them in 2020 or 2021, but 2022, ooh, hey, they could show up. And Dr. Doom has hung out in Wakanda a few times and caused problems. It would be a great way to bring him in. He's a great villain, too, that he was never done justice, I don't think, prior. He's a clever guy, and obviously he's vindictive. But also, for those who don't know, T'Challa and Storm are totally an item in the comic books. Storm is from Africa as well, so you never know.
I like these theories. I love that you're such a comic book nerd and that you have read like every single comic book there is from Marvel, because you have all these little tidbits way more than the, like, you know, 50 comic books I've read. Because no, it's great. Like, these are such great theories. And it's great source material, but I love that theory.
I mean, it's just my thought. And as far as Killmonger goes, I think he said that he would, yep, be back. But we don't know if that means in the ancestral plane or if they somehow, like Shuri, saved him. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see him come back and see what his role would be. And also, will Bucky be back as the White Wolf?
I'm still holding out hope for that.
I mean, I'm not against it. I said earlier, I'm all for all the Bucky. He can be in every movie. It doesn't even need to make sense. I'm there for Bucky.
I'm good with that too.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, so Spider-Man.
Spidey.
Poor Spider. Poor Tom Holland. You know, he was at the D23 Expo. He was there for the Onward Pixar presentation. He was there with Chris Pratt because, like, they play the two elf brothers. My little heart just broke for him because, you know, his little goodbye to us was, "We love you 3000. And I was just like, oh, Spidey.
When I saw that on Twitter, I was like, don't say that. That makes it sound like it's forever. Is it weird to still be upset over this?
No, I don't think so. Because here's my thought, my personal thought, is that since the Marvel-Sony agreement, in my opinion, these are the best Spider-Man movies that we've had. And
preach.
It's in part because Marvel does such a good job with their source material, and they do such a good job tying in and weaving in all the stories. The other, not that Sony's terrible, but they just don't do the same quality movies, you know? And then you have, like, so look at that other universe that's like a giant poop show when it comes to tying in all their movies. And it's like, here's a one-off movie, here's a one-off movie. And they're not all terrible movies, but there's no cohesiveness. And so really, Spider-Man is the loss here, and we are the loss here, because these movies have gotten so much better since Marvel took them over and are able to, like, weave Spider-Man into all the places. And I know that there are people who are all like, oh, well, Spider-Man shouldn't be like the be-all end-all and like the, you know, motivation for phase 4 and like forward of the MCU. But at the same time, Spider-Man is a great character, and they've done a really good job with these movies. So if Spider-Man goes back to Sony, one, we have plot holes that are going to be just dropped, where we clearly had some good forward momentum in terms of plots and story arcs. Mm-hmm. And so what happens to those? So that's a loss for us as fans, and it's a loss for the MCU as a whole.
I agree. I feel like at the end of the day, it's the franchise and the fans who suffer the most if they can't come to an agreement. And you're right. I mean, I've never cared about a Spider-Man movie prior to Tom Holland taking on the role. And yeah, the plot holes kind of probably make me the most mad, because we had such great setup mm-hmm. at the end of Far From Home. Those post-credit scenes had me like flipping yes. out in the theater for all the possibilities yes. that it opened. And then for this to happen, I was like, I feel like betrayed. I'm like so upset. I feel like somebody just ripped the carpet out
from under me, and now it's like, well, whatever. It's like, bye.
Or like yeah. gut punched like, me. Like, got me so ha-ha, excited, sucker.
And then you're just like, well, like, just kidding. Like, Spidey's never going to be a thing again. And you're like, but you literally teased me with all these possibilities.
Right.
Yeah, so it's mad. Not cool at all. And yeah, we're the ones that suffer. Like, who cares about Marvel's pocketbooks? Who cares about Sony's pocketbooks? The fans are the ones that suffer. So, yeah. Super yeah, bitter.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I haven't really heard anything about what's going to happen at this point.
There's still some rumors floating around. One of the guys who broke the initial agreement that they reached, or claims to have been the first person yep. to leak that information, is still saying that there's some hope and that we shouldn't give up hope. But I feel like Hawkeye, like, yeah. don't give me hope. Like
Ronan,
you know, I can't handle it. Like, don't say that to me. I mean, but if we're talking business, it's a profitable agreement.
It's true.
They need it's true. To make it work. And if we use work.
That whole Hawkeye Ronan analogy, I mean, he did get his family back in the end. So
that's true. Where's the gauntlet? I'll do it.
You're going to take one for the team.
What do I need to do? I will take one for the team as long as I live through it so I can see the movies.
Oh my goodness.
That's all I ask.
That was great. All right. So, I mean, I think this was a great first episode. Next time, I think instead of talking Marvel, we're going to shift a little bit and head to a galaxy far or maybe not so far away.
Yes. We're going to be talking everything from Star Wars Galaxy's Edge to Episode 9. There's so much to discuss there, too. I can't wait.
And we'll talk about that new footage for sure.
That double lightsaber. What?
And then we'll talk about maybe East Batuu and West Batuu.
Well, I haven't experienced either, so that's all you.
Oh.
Mad. I'm a little mad. It's fine.
Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for more geeky goodness.